I'm going to make this clear right off the bat. None of what I'll be talking about here involves a haunted video game. This isn't about a game doing something impossible. Or hell, something it shouldn't have, period. Not a glitch, not a hidden message, not a mysterious ROM hack, or even a game that's considered tampered. This is about a feature that I managed to unearth when I was a kid. A feature that, as far as I'm aware, no one else has managed to unlock. That's it. Okay, no ghosts, no conspiracies, nothing of the sort. Just a well-hidden secret, let's say, that none of us were supposed to find. Something that was meant to take a multi-billion dollar franchise in an entirely different direction. Only to be scrapped and abandoned. Never to be known by anyone outside of the people who created it. This is what I can only assume to be the previously undiscovered alternate ending to Nintendo's Super Mario World. In 1993, I would venture to guess, like most kids, I got a Super Nintendo, and a copy of Super Mario World for Christmas to boot. I was obsessed with that thing for months before, pleading with my parents to buy it, hounding them for months. And lucky for 10-year-old me, it worked. Or at least I thought I was lucky at the time, that is. After my dad set it up for me, I began to immerse myself in the new world that Mario had to offer. I remember how excited I was. I mean, what kid wouldn't be? My friends told me all about how amazing the game was at recess, alongside a few tricks they would use to beat sections of the game on repeat playthroughs. And excited to try these tricks out, I quickly entered the menu. Strangely, though, I couldn't pick what character I could play as. Of course, I knew this wasn't intentional, as I had watched my friends play the game with Luigi before, but I was still disappointed. Anyway, I shrugged this off as a glitch and settled with playing as Mario. And I proceeded to play the game as normal. You know, having a blast. It was hard to get used to at first, though, but eventually I managed to get close to beating the entire game in roughly a few hours, with my friend's tricks really helping me speed through things much easier. Things were normal up to that point. Everything was as my friends described it. At least that remained true up until I got past the sunken ghost ship. And after I cleared that level, instead of the Bowser cave appearing out of the water, a path opened to a whirlpool on the right. And confused, I moved Mario over to the new level, only to find that it had no name. My friends never mentioned anything else aside from the sunken ghost ship before the Bowser cave, but, you know, I simply waved it off as me forgetting. Or maybe it was just them not bringing it up. And hey, you know, maybe the lack of name was just a bug or something. Either way, though, I wanted to show my friends what I saw. So I took my camera out of my closet and snapped a picture of my TV screen. I found myself doing this a lot, as you'll soon see why. Anyways, I entered the level, expecting something like the ghost ship again. Instead, however, I was greeted by the intro that plays every time a castle level, just underwater this time, with strangely no background, unlike all the other underwater levels. And I mean, this was rather out of place, as I had just cleared a castle level before this, and nothing of the sort happened beforehand. Regardless, I convinced myself that this was maybe a special castle, something, and kept playing. And after Mario entered the castle, he wound up in this passageway. At this point, what I was experiencing seemed more and more like a glitch, or some unfinished developer area. See, the top of the passageway was just pitch black. I couldn't jump, and all I could really do was have Mario progressively go right while running at his highest speed. And this went on for a couple minutes until eventually some boos appeared in the black area above the passageway. After Mario ran past them, the boos obviously chased him, just strangely faster than I remember. The further Mario ran down the passageway, the more boos appeared above. Over time, big boos would even start to accompany them, also chasing at a much faster speed than me. Not only that, but bony beetles started to appear in the passageway with me. I obviously couldn't dodge them, thanks to jumping being off the table, the boos chasing me, the screen keeping me from going off, and Mario being down at one hit. But then, as he touched the bony beetle, nothing happened. The beetle just phased through him, and confused, I let one of the boos catch me. Once again, nothing. Mario, for whatever reason, could not die. This further made me think that none of what I was playing was even meant to be accessible. At least not by players like me, that is. But either way, I kept going, until eventually the passageway led into a room with a pipe inside. The pipe took Mario to another passageway, just far less narrow. At the end of the passageway lied a boss door and a question block. The question block held a cape, one that I happily accepted, and I then entered the boss door and was taken to the arena. Instead of the boss already being there, however, typically taunting Mario, there was nothing. Mario just stood there for a second, and control was taken away from me. It was at this point, rather abruptly, that fire rained down from the ceiling, covering both the left and right sides of the arena. The fire was from Bowser's boss fight, but it was stranger. It was recolored to green. It was then that a familiar face appeared from the right, walking past the fire, a tall figure dressed in green overalls with a scowl on his face. Luigi. And it finally clicked to me why Luigi wasn't selectable on the menu screen, but that wasn't just my only takeaway. Not only seeing Luigi here, but also just him wearing an angered expression like that caught me off guard. As I was distracted by my thoughts, the game caught my attention back with what Luigi said to Mario. "You thought Koopa worked alone." As Mario reeled back in terror, with an expression of worry plastered on his face, everything clicked for me. Luigi was always secondary to Mario. The player too, the one who never gets the princess. And despite how similar the two's moveset was, with Luigi having the same bravery as Mario, at the end of the day, it's Super Mario Brothers, and Luigi is just the brother. The second Mario. He must have hated Mario, despised him, as he got all the adoration and praise, even though they both equally did the work in rescuing the princess. Of course, this isn't how their dynamic is nowadays, or at least that's not how modern-day Luigi would see things, but back then, that wasn't who Luigi was. And that line, that Koopa hadn't worked alone, I mean, it confused me at first. But then I realized, how did Bowser consistently kidnap the princess? And again, that's when it clicked. Since Super Mario Bros. And onward, it was an inside job. And it was at this point, we can only assume, that Luigi seemed to have grown tired of Bowser and his minions failing to kill Mario across each game. He was finally here to finish the job himself. And so, after his text disappeared, the battle began. Luigi didn't act like the Koopalings at all, not only in attacks, but in how he acted. His AI was clearly more sophisticated than the Koopalings. Not to a groundbreaking degree, of course, but, you know, still a noticeable one. He could both hurl fireballs at Mario and cause ones from the Bowser boss fight to drop down, just like the ones from the intro of the fight. On top of that, he had more than 3 hit points, and could block, preventing me from dishing out damage to him when I had the opportunity to. It was tricky at first, but eventually I did get the hang of things, jumping on Luigi's head consistently. And as I dealt more and more damage to him, the floor of the arena began to collapse, as it did in other boss fights. Things got trickier as I needed to dodge Luigi's attacks in a constantly shrinking space. It was then, though, eventually, that I managed to deal the final blow to him, ending the fight. As Luigi sat down in defeat, Mario, still wearing his somber expression, used his cape to hit Luigi, causing him to barrel upwards and then back down, falling into the lava below as he extended his hand out, before slowly sinking down into the fiery depths. As Mario looked on, he sat on the ledge of the bridge, weeping. The coarse, clear text faded on screen, no longer accompanied by music, before everything faded to black. I could just tell by how everything played out that the death of Luigi was indeed a permanent one. It was saddening for me to see the brotherhood of Mario and Luigi shattering before my eyes. Luigi couldn't handle not having the spotlight, not being Mario. So all this time, he had been secretly working against you throughout every single game. And now, the villain, I or anyone else didn't even realize he was there, had been wiped out. I didn't realize at the time. Of course, now I do. This was intentional. This was the direction Nintendo planned to take the series in, with Luigi being a secret antagonist. Of course, what I found was never complete, evident by the unfinished environments, the lack of music, etc. And midway through development, Nintendo must have not liked this direction, and scrapped it, going with what the rest of the world got to experience. All except for me. As I awaited to be taken back to the world map, the game instead lingered on an empty black screen. At least for a little while. Suddenly, something faded onto my TV screen. Luigi. Well, what remained of him, that is. It was a highly compressed visual piece of art of Luigi's burnt corpse, with his face singed off and only having one eye left in its socket. His body was burnt and caked in blood. As I stared at the horrific image, red text appeared on the screen. I hate you. As I looked on, however, I noticed some more red text in the top left corner of the screen. Remove this before we show this build to Miyamoto. This slightly took the piss out of some of my fear, as it clicked with me that this screen was some kind of dark gag between developers. Either way, though, seeing Luigi in this state did spook me a bit. I had watched horror movies before this when my parents were asleep, so obviously it didn't scare the shit out of me, but the fact that this was in a Mario game, and that it took place after such an encounter, was rather rattling, to say the very least. And that text, I hate you, It further drove the point home. The same went for how uncomfortable I felt. After what felt like an eternity of staring at that image of Luigi, the screen turned to black before fading into the world map, a sight I had never been so relieved to see. Then, just like it should have after the sunken ghost ship, the Bowser cave emerged from the water, allowing me to enter the final area of the game. Thankfully, nothing from that point onward had been altered or was in the same vein as that untitled level. Regardless, however, I couldn't get it out of my mind, even after playing through the normal levels. Before I even knew it, I had beaten the game. With Bowser defeated and the princess rescued, as you'd expect, however, the victory was bittersweet, as it would have been for Mario. And to further drive this point home was the ending screen. Only Mario and Peach stood there, with the notable absence of Luigi. Their expressions weren't even sad, or anything like that. It was the same happiness there during the end screen when Luigi normally should be there. I could tell, though, Mario was hiding it. Whether it was for Peach's sake or something else, I knew what he felt deep down. As for Peach, maybe it's just an adult me overanalyzing things, but I felt something different for her. She didn't look like she was hiding anything. Hell, it didn't even feel like she realized Luigi was missing. Just realized Luigi was right. He really was just a lesser Mario, and nobody other than his brother would know he was gone. The person he betrayed, the person he hated. And regardless of Luigi's betrayal, all of this is just somber to me. I would stop playing Mario World after I finished the game back then. I threw it in a dresser in my closet and forgot about it for years, playing other SNES games and trying to forget what it was I saw. The idea of Mario for me back then, and even now, is just tainted. I don't consider it a happy-go-lucky hero and his brother saving the day. No. No, it's about a brother, starved of any recognition from his hard work, betraying his loved one, and working against him in the shadows, only to meet a fiery grave. I didn't want to be reminded of that as a kid, so I chose not to, managing to completely forget over time. When I eventually turned 15, I was rummaging through my bedroom, looking for things to sell for a garage sale. Only to find that copy of Super Mario World. At the time, I didn't realize how valuable it was, even with the bad memories attached to it, so I chose to give it to my mom to sell at the garage sale, hoping the experience the game gave me would disappear forever. At the time of me writing this, it's been 20 years later. You know, I managed to recollect all this thanks to the pictures I took from that day. Tried to search online to see if someone managed to witness what I did in the game and possibly even talk about it. So far, no dice. And I've been debating for a few days now if I should have made this, even with the pictures that I have. I know few will believe a single word of anything I say here, but in the end, that's not really my goal. Not anymore. I simply just want to archive what I experienced, no matter if a majority believes me or not. All I can say now is that I'm thankful Luigi turned into the happy-go-lucky, lovable dork we have now, rather than the man burning at the bottom of a lava pit. forever loathing the man he was always stuck in the shadow of.